Today we continue our journey through the book of the Ephesians. We're going to pick up in Ephesians chapter 2, and we'll read together the paragraph or the passage verses 11 through 22 in just a moment. Before we do begin, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we ask your blessing upon our study today, Lord. We thank you for being the great God that thou art. We thank you for your very words as you preserved them in this good old King James Bible. We thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shed his precious blood at Calvary's cross, so that all that would call upon his name and believe in his shed blood alone to save them from their sins would have all their sins forgiven and a home in heaven. Father, bless our time together. Bless the listener and bless your word as it goes forth. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, we'll read down from verse 11 to 22, and then we'll get into our study. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of the partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Before Jesus came to save us, Jews and Gentiles were separated by what Paul calls a wall of partition in verse 14 of Ephesians 2. This wall was the result of the law in verse 15. Jews were circumcised according to the law, while Gentiles were uncircumcised, verse 11. Furthermore, promises were made to the Jews through God's covenant with Abraham, and Gentiles were excluded from the promises of this covenant, as we are told in verse 12. The promises included such things as the land grant to the promised land, the hope of the resurrection, the promise of national supremacy and protection, and so forth. That left the Gentiles with no hope, without God in this world. It also left them without Jesus, since salvation is of the Jews, as we are told in John chapter 4, verse 22. Notice with me how Gentiles were initially excluded in Jesus' ministry. First of all, we want to turn to Matthew chapter 15 and look at verse 24. In Matthew 15, verse 24, the words of God say this, "But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." That's Jesus speaking there. Then notice in chapter 10 with me of Matthew, chapter number 10, verses 5 and 6. We read this in the words of God. "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." However, Jesus eventually made salvation available to the Gentiles, as we saw in Acts chapter 10, when he sent the apostle Peter to Cornelius and his household to preach the death, the burial, and the resurrection. And then we see the Lord assigned Paul the responsibility to minister to them, to the Gentiles specifically. Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 2, if you'll turn there with me, Galatians chapter 2. In Galatians chapter 2, read with me verses 7 and 9. "But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me," this is Paul speaking, "as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me towards the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision." So here what we see then is Paul is given the specific ministry to the Gentiles, the uncircumcision, while Peter and the other apostles had the ministry to the Jews, the circumcised. Amen. Now, Paul wrote to the Ephesians to let them know that in Christ Jesus, as we go back to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13, Jews and Gentiles were no longer separated by a wall of partition. Verse 13, Ephesians 2. "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." The wall had been broken down. Look at verse 14, Ephesians 2. "For he is our peace, who is made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us." So they were together in Christ, Jew and Gentile. And as such, they enjoyed some privileges that are unique to those in the body of Christ. Neither the Jews nor the Gentiles had these privileges before Jesus had brought them together in his body. Now that the wall of partition between Jews and Gentiles is down in Christ Jesus, we have, notice with me, first of all, peace. Peace. Look at verse 14. Ephesians 2, "For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us." Look with me in verse 17 of Ephesians 2, "And came and preached peace to you which were afar off to them that were nigh." Now, this peace is twofold. First of all, we have peace with God. We have peace with God. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 5, and we'll look at verse 1. Romans 5, 1. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, The words of God say this, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Not only do we have peace with God, we have peace with each other, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Jews and Gentiles, through political negotiations, will never have peace. My dear friend, the peace they seek is only available in Christ. Amen? Now notice also now that the wall of partition between Jews and Gentiles is down in Christ Jesus, we saw we have peace, but we also have unity. Unity. Again, I draw your attention to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15. We read, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, in the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain, notice, one new man, so making peace. In Christ, we are one new man because we are members, so his body and his body is one. Notice what 1 Corinthians chapter 12 with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We want to see in verse 12 what the words say. Amen. The words of God say. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, we read this. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Therefore, we endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4 with me in verse number 3. We read this. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Amen. So now that the wall of partition between Jew and Gentile is down in Christ Jesus, we saw peace, then we saw unity, and we also have reconciliation. Reconciliation, Ephesians chapter 2, in verse number 16. That he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. We have been reconciled to God through Christ, amen. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians, if you would. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, we want to read together verses 18 and 19. The words of God say this. In all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So in Christ, we have been reconciled to God. And because we've been reconciled to God, we are given that ministry of reconciliation. See, we are to tell others how they can be reconciled to God, no longer an enemy of God, through God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And we tell them that when we show them it's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. Placing their faith and trust in that alone. And through that, and only through Christ, can they be reconciled to God, no longer an enemy of God, but have peace with God. Amen? See, that's something that neither one of us had before Jesus died on the cross for our transgressions. So we're looking at what we have now, that the wall of partition between Jews and Gentiles is down in Christ Jesus. We have peace. Amen. We have peace with God and we have peace with one another. And then we saw we have unity. We have unity. We are one new man. We are all members of one body, the body of Christ. And then we just saw we have reconciliation. We've been reconciled to God, no longer enemies of God, through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We also have, we want to see, access. Access. Look with me in verse number 18 of Ephesians chapter 2. We read, "For through Him," that's the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, "we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." Now that we are in Christ, at peace with God and reconciled to Him, we have access to Him through the Spirit, from whom we have been separated by sin. Let's first turn, if you would, with me to the prophet Isaiah in chapter 59. Notice with me in Isaiah chapter 59 what the words of God say. We read this, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear." So before we were reconciled to God through Christ, we see here that our sins, our iniquity, separated us from Him. He wouldn't even hear us. Notice in Ephesians chapter 3 with me, verse 12, we read this, "In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him." So we who were separated by God by our sins now have access. See, we have access to God through the Spirit because Christ has reconciled us to God. Amen? We have access to God. And notice in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12 again, "in whom we have boldness." See, we have boldness now. We have assurance of that access to God, amen, because we're reconciled to God through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and what He did on Calvary's cross and shedding His precious blood, so that we now have access to the Father through His Holy Spirit that indwells each and every one of us. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter number 4, in verse 16. Notice what, because we've been reconciled, now we have access, but notice what it says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. "Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." Now, so that word boldly doesn't mean prideful or arrogantly, but that we can come to the throne room of grace confidently. We can go in without any hesitation. We have access to the Almighty God because we've been reconciled to God. We're no longer an enemy of God. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. So we can go to that throne room of grace any time of the day or night, because we have access. Because why? Because Christ died on that cross for our transgressions and reconciled us, who at one time were enemies of God. We were made have peace with God now and are friends of God now because of what Christ did at Calvary's cross. Now, we've been looking at, now that the wall of partition between Jews and Gentiles is down in Christ Jesus, we found that we've had peace. We have unity. We have reconciliation. We have access, but we also have citizenship. Citizenship. Ephesians chapter 2 with me, if you would. Look at verse 19. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. So, here we see now that that middle wall of partition is down. We are no longer strangers and foreigners like we were before we were saved. Now we are fellow citizens with the saints. And our citizenship is in heaven in New Jerusalem. See? We are now ambassadors for Christ, the words of God tell us. We represent the heavenly country. Amen? In New Jerusalem. That will be our abiding place for all time and eternity. Amen. Notice with me in Hebrews chapter 11. I want us to look at Hebrews 11 and read verses 8 to 10. We read this. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. See that? By faith, Abraham did what God told him. He left his country. He didn't know exactly where he was going, but he went anyways. And then as he went, he looked for a city. He looked upward. He realized that he was no more a citizen of this earth, but of a country to come, a heavenly one. And he looked for that city, that heavenly city. We know it's a heavenly city because it had foundations, not made by human hands, but whose builder of that city was God Himself. God Himself was the builder and maker of that city. And Abraham looked forward to that city. Amen. As the Jews have a promised land, according to God's covenant with Abraham, even so we have a promised home and mansions in the sky through God's covenant with Jesus. Turn with me, if you would, to the Gospel of John. And I'm sure you'll, this passage that we'll read there in John chapter 14 and verses 1 through 6 will be very familiar to you. Gospel of John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6, we read this. Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." See that? Here's our promise. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is gone to prepare a place for each and every one of us. It's a heavenly place. It's a heavenly mansion in the sky. And this is something that you and I can count on. See? Because we have this promise through God's covenant with Jesus. Because as he says here, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Again, we've been looking at some things that you and I have now, that middle wall of petition. See, that wall of petition that's come down between the Jews and the Gentiles, it's come down in Christ. As a result of that, we have peace, unity, reconciliation, access, citizenship, and also permanence. Permanence. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom are all the building fitly framed together, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. We have permanence, amen, built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. We are on a solid rock, which can never ever be moved. See, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, notice what the words of God say in verse number 11. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He's our foundation. He's our rock. Amen. He is who the church is built upon. And we know that the gates of hell will never prevail against it. Amen. We're promised that. And the building has been under construction for nearly 2,000 years and has weathered every attempt to destroy it. Amen. So we have permanence. And then finally we want to see, because that a wall of partition has come down between Jew and Gentile in Christ Jesus, we have fellowship. Notice again in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 22. We'll read that verse 22. In whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. So here we see here, we are a habitation. And the temple for God with whom we enjoy continual fellowship. Amen. Turn with me to the first epistle of John, if you would. 1 John chapter 1, verses 3 to 7, we read this. That which we have seen and heard declare unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. Truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light and he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin. See that? We have continual fellowship with him. We are the habitation and the temple for God. God indwells us, amen, permanently until the day of redemption. We can have, because that wall of partition has been broken down, we can have continual fellowship with Almighty God. So that concludes chapter 2 in the book of Ephesians. And when we meet again, we'll begin chapter 3. Thank you for joining me for the pastor's study. Until we meet again, my prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.